The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, listen.
Some kind of what? A whispering egg. What kind of egg? Let's open this up. Oh my god, it's one upsmanship! It's ripping my goddamn throat out!
All right.
Hey everybody. You know what I'm talking about. If you know, you know. Don't fuck with those whispering eggs. I'm Michael Swaim, a stalwart explorer of the space we call interactive media. No one calls it that. We talk about video games here. It's one upsmanship.
I'm Adam Ganser, still stunned by this. By
flustered
this,
you.
Yeah, by
nailed
this intro.
It.
Yeah.
That's how you dom as a podcast host, is you get them to have a second of awkward silence because they're so flabbergasted by what you just whipped out.
My God, yeah.
Did that not scan the whispering egg, horrible things come out of?
Funny
you
enough.
You know what I'm talking about.
Funny enough, it only kind of did. It took me a little bit. I was like, wait, what?
Okay.
Funny enough.
I know our guest knows what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Because he's such a pro that he stifled the gouts of uproarious laughter that obviously my bit should have triggered for the sake of decorum, and I really appreciate that. But now you can speak. Please say, hey, special guest.
Hey, special guest. My name is Cody, and I got your bit immediately. But you're
excellent.
Right, I was being polite. Although I guess being polite would be like laughing louder, right?
Well, it's kind of how you define it, really.
Podcast etiquette's very specific. Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to speak up before being introduced. It's your podcast.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
all
we
sorts
appreciate
of things
that.
Went in to me.
Thanks,
not
dude.
Vocally saying, I understand your whispering egg reference.
That's right.
Great.
No, it's not a Gwyneth Paltrow product. It's from the game No Man's Sky. That was a vaginal egg reference. Did that scan?
Yeah.
I'm going to stop every time I try a bit and make sure it's scanned.
Yeah, understood that one.
Yeah, great.
Really
okay.
Good. Really good. So
yeah. We're talking about No Man's
scanned.
Sky from Hello
That's
Games.
One, too. from No Man's Sky.
That's right.
Yeah.
A game famously that launched quite some time ago to a certain amount of uproar of people saying there's nothing here. It's not enough of a game. but then has been very robustly supported. So we're checking in with it now-ish. We've all played it fairly recently.
Yep.
And so we've played a pretty robust version of No Man's Sky, enough that we feel like, yes, they're going to keep adding stuff on, but it's ready to cover. This baby's cooked enough to cover. We feel like we understand what No Man's Sky was as an experiment and an endeavor now. So we know Code's played a lot of it, and we figured we'd have him on to talk about it. Always appreciate you taking the time. Folks listening may know Cody from his Shoddy, Some More News. If you don't, check that out. I noticed Gamefully are doing plugs at the beginning now, so I'm going to start ripping them off and doing some plugs at the beginning. But let's dive in and talk No Man's Sky. Adam, is that all right with you?
Oh, it's perfectly fine. You might also know him from that one sketch we did called Slorp. You might remember that one.
That's probably, or the Puddle of Mud sketch. Slorp and Puddle of Mud are the
I
big
know him
two
from
that.
Know. Yeah. I know him from that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So this is that means we pass our first checkpoint, which in terms of this game, I guess means we, I'll say I teleported to the space station and immediately got that backpack upgrade. Mm-hmm. You got to get always first.
Got to get it first.
Second you hit a star system. And that takes us to a segment called Tell Me Like I'm 8-Bit, where we implore our special guest to explain this game in objective terms, not so much your experience of the game as much as like if someone's never heard of this game, what is No Man's Sky in a nutshell? Please, Cody.
No Man's Sky is an open-world sandbox-style game that includes an entire galaxy and other galaxies where you can explore and land on and mine planets with fantastic landscapes and atmosphere to gain items and upgrades for your ships and weapons in a slight narrative way. And I lost my train of thought. Furthermore,
I love it.
Mm-hmm. See, this is how you know he's great. A performer who's fully comfortable on stage, does not feel the need to even be entertaining or engaging to some degree.
I would say it's an open world GTA Red Dead Redemption style game in space.
Oh.
Red Dead Redemption style.
Style, to be clear. We'll get into
far enough in the story. Do you get tuberculosis at the end?
Uh-huh. Space tuberculosis.
Space tuberculosis.
Space gangs. I would say you losing your train of thought is appropriate for the summary of this.
Exactly. Sure, yes. That is also true.
Yeah. Yes. Also
got a lot of mixed feelings about this game.
Right. That's right.
All right. So good alley oop there. Let's move on from this segment. I think that's mostly true. Yeah.
I think we should say it came out originally in 2016, and it was the most hyped indie game in a very long time when it
came
out.
Because specifically, thanks to a new hip thing called procedural generation, which is still struggling to find a mainstream place in most games.
Yeah.
But it's an exciting technology. This was one of the first games alongside another famous flop, Spore, that had that was really touting the promise of procedural generation in order to make something of infinite scope. So it was a hugely enticing to gamers because they said it's going to be a galaxy of literally like almost infinite size with planets in each system. And we're like, that's crazy. And then, Adam, you tell them what happened then.
They released it. It was broken and boring, according to many. And they spent, it's what seems like 6 years, basically fastening buttresses onto this game to make it a full, robust experience. And we're going to talk about how successful they were or were not at this point.
It wasn't even just broken. It was missing features that
it was missing features. Yeah.
Talked about and,
right.
and touted.
It was a little bit of like the scandal of Cyberpunk is sort of a bigger version of the scandal of this game, where a certain thing was promised and what was delivered was hilariously not that.
And I believe crowdfunding was involved in the initial creation of the game, so people were pissed off. Yeah.
Yeah. We should pass our next checkpoint and get into our spicy takes about this game, the gamer rants. I would like to invite Michael Swaim to go first. I would.
Oh, okay.
I would love you to go first. Would you mind?
So Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Not mine. So I'll go first, and I'm player one, and I'm plugging in. And these are the rants where we give our subjective view of the game with a priority for hot takes, because people love them. They lap them up, the salty dogs. But I don't have an especially hot take on this. My true emotional response is, well, first a bit about my history with the game. I heard about the scandal, so I didn't play it for many years. So I obsessively do play through, I do a fresh playthrough of the games we're going to cover on this show as much as I can. So even though I'd played this, I had three goes the first time, played for about 8 hours. I was like, there's not enough here still. It was a couple games, years after the game came out. Second time, maybe 4 years, 4.5, 5 years after the game came out, I played it again and I really got sucked in and I sank about 40, 45 hours in. Still not as much as you could sink into an endless procedurally generated sandbox game, but that was how long it kept my interest before I was like, I think I get it. It would be more grander versions of this in a chain until I tire of it. And that ain't too shabby. I'll take 45 hours of entertainment out of a game I purchased for sure. And then I replayed it a third time for about 15 hours just to prep for this. And I think I've sort of gone on a bell curve of experience, and I want to try and speak to the middle of that experience, because I do feel like the most genuine, that was the, I do have to knock them because of course the package was sort of fumbled, but that was the experience they obviously meant to present, and it did work on me. So I'm going to try and project myself back to the time when the game worked on me and I liked it. Mm-hmm. The most negative thing I'll say about it, or the spiciest thing I'll say, is that this game sort of starts with the lonely, depopulated feeling that Fallout games end with for me. This game almost starts with a feeling of, like, not many people in the universe have too much to say, and they mostly stand still or do a simple loop, and you can come visit them anytime. And there's no such thing as a hyperpopulated planet. Like, even though there are, you can land on an infinite number of planets, they all have the exact same population density, which is like there's a ruin or a point of interest every mile or so. And then most people live on space stations. And in a game that's light on lore and world building, I had to sort of use my imagination. And you end up with a story that's not there at all. But I'm like, unless it is. So that's my question I'll end on, is that there's this depopulated universe where things are mostly like closing up shop. It reminded me of the feeling I got playing Outer Wilds, where it feels like the end of a decaying universe, but it's funny because I don't even know if Hello Games wants me to feel that way. I think they want me to feel the awe and thrill of exploring space, but it also has this lonely melancholy vibe because there's almost no story. And I do think that that's a problem I'll always have with sandbox survival games and procedural generation in general, is how do you tie a story to that? And it's tricky. And different people have handled it different ways. Hades recently handled it in a way everyone kind of agreed is very graceful and interesting. But that's my only knock. Like, I think it's really inspirational how much they've supported it. All the systems they've added are really truly additive and are enough to make me go back to the game and try it again. Oh, I heard they added this. I want to try that. And there are some indelible moments in the game loop that do truly feel like what I want out of a space exploration game and the way they wanted me to feel. For example, going into hyperspace, or the first time you lift off and traverse from the planet's surface into space without there being a load screen. You can't overstate that that's something we've always wanted out of a space exploration game. I wanted it back when I played Freelancer, which I think is underrated, or like all the way back in the day, like Escape Velocity or what have you. Any kind of like you're going to explore a whole galaxy game. The main thing I've always wanted is the seamless transition from standing on the ground to being in space. And this gives it to you in a way that is good. It's impactful. I felt really cool. And I tried it in VR this time to prep for this.
Well, yeah.
And man, it feels awesome in VR. It feels really sick to go from the ground to space or space to the ground. But at the same time, I don't like that lonely hollow feeling. And I don't think it's that there aren't enough systems there. I think it's that there isn't enough focus on story there, and you can tell there never was going to be. That's not what their goal was. And that's where it shifts away from what I ultimately want, or like what I always hope a Star Trek simulator is going to be, like what I hope Starfield will be, my perfect version of this, is a little less survival loopy because I'm not that much of a survival guy. But overall, cool. I have more to say. I'll save it for... This is a pretty innocuous rant. I'm sorry. I have big, important stuff to say, but I'll save it for Game On. End of rant.
I would agree with a lot of what you said. And my experience with the game was kind of similar in that I found out about the game and I was very excited because it seemed really up my alley and like my jam. Heard about the disappointment. Didn't play it until about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And had a great experience with it. It had all the things that I wanted, but like you, it slowly started to feel empty and a little too wistful. And I think that's partially by design. I know that the creator wanted this sort of like expansive, kind of lonely experience of exploring the galaxy. And he nailed that. But then I think people just don't want to necessarily play that for too long, and so you have to add all these layers to it. You have to add the sense of a story, and I think even the story, I don't know how much, Michael, you actually finished of the story, but it is that it is this sort of end of the universe thing.
I was
sort of
say,
emptiness.
For all I know, I didn't get far enough to know what the actual reveal of the story is, so it probably is that. Okay. So
yeah, well, like, I mean, I guess spoilers, but, like, the basic idea of the universe is that it's a constantly looping simulation, and they're all the simulations are connected to each other, so you're sort of talking to these echoes of past simulations and past, like, players in the game, but it is this sort of constant fake loop. Which is a neat idea, and I think makes the game make sense. Like, it makes all the mechanics of the game make sense in the context of the actual gameplay. Like, oh, I guess you do this because it's a simulation, so it doesn't matter. But because of that, it also kind of doesn't matter. So it feels emptier because it is essentially just a fake loop
game
over and over again.
Yeah.
So it feels a little disconnected from the universe that they want you to be excited about exploring. But like you, I think when I played it, I threw in a bunch of hours into it because the stuff that they added over time made that slow experience last longer. Of realizing, like, oh, okay, I guess it would just be this over and over again. Less interested, you know, if you finish the story and like, I guess I gotta do this over and over again and fly to the center of the universe to get to another galaxy. And then I would just keep doing that over and over and over again. You could build bases, which is fine. But to what I was saying earlier, when I was like, oh, it's like GTA, or Red Dead Redemption in space, but minus like a lot of the depth and, intricacies that make those games really great and replayably fun. So, again, it's this sort of like when I hear about the game, oh, the idea of that's really, really cool. I want to play that, but it doesn't quite nail it. And I've the easiest way, I guess, for to sum up my opinion of the game generally is like it's a very beautiful looking wide pool, but it's also still very shallow. I think the game itself needs a lot more depth in these little updates that it gives, because a lot of the updates are not necessarily just cosmetic, but it is just sort of it's sort of widening the pool. It doesn't deepen the pool, and I think games like this really need something much deeper for you to constantly be exploring and diving down into and then diving back up to keep the game engaging and interesting. So yeah, I find myself falling off of the game pretty easily because it doesn't have that depth that I think a lot of other games would have.
And what is the promise of an infinite galaxy if you're not, like, the thing you salivate over when they announce it is that, oh, I could play this for the rest of my life and it could be interesting. But it's not really that.
But it's not, yeah. It doesn't quite have the, even the connection between players isn't quite right for that thing of like, oh, a space game that's expansive and procedurally generated and I can play it online, I can fly around, I can do whatever, like you said, oh, I do that. I play that game forever, but it doesn't have some elements that are required of that. Like, it's not quite like Minecraft, I think, is a game that can stick around forever because it has a lot of depth. But this, I think, just needs, there are a bunch of ideas that like could be implemented, I think, that could really make the game much better. But which isn't to say I don't like the game, to be clear. I really, really enjoyed it. It accomplishes quite a bit. Even like one of the most recent updates, updating combat. It's like, yeah, you made it better. You made the combat better, but it doesn't quite nail. You know, I want to play like a mix of like GTA and SimCity and different types of strategy games. And I want to go on Halo type missions. Like, I want like all of these. I want all games in
but
space.
Also, they're not all mediocre and compromised. Every element is as good as a AAA version that just focused on that.
Exactly, yeah. Like with, for example, like the settlement stuff. Very cool. Add settlements, add little towns that you can manage, right? But what it is every hour and a half you go and say yes or no to a question to make a decision of the town. It doesn't have like the intricacies and the depth of like town management that would make that element actually enjoyable for a long time or interesting even.
Well,
okay, brace
well
yourselves because it's Adam's turn. And I feel like we're gonna pile on this game. I thought we liked this game.
I do.
Go ahead, Adam.
Also, I thought you guys liked this game better than you do. Okay, player three plugging in. I played this game right when it came out in 2016 for 50 hours. I played it again.
Whoa.
I played it again at Mike's behest to cover it for about 30 hours. It sounds like I've played it the most out of all of us, which is shocking to me.
It's
I've probably played more than you.
Okay.
When I first got it, I like really put in some time.
Great. So,
but yes, certainly the first version.
Yeah. Well, I remember the trailer for this game very vividly. The trailer was you're in this lush world that feels like space Jurassic Park, and then you hop in your ship, like after you've like been seeing all this amazing shit, you're like, oh, this is great. Then you hop in a ship and actually make it out of the atmosphere and fly to another planet. And it's like, whoa. Like, it promised the idea of reality. As far as you can imagine it, you're going to encounter it. That's what was promised. You know, like, you're going to really see the galaxy. And here's what the game does well. It does the space travel sequences really well. Those are good. It does the landscape and the feeling of roaming around a place that very few people have been really well. It does... The mining stuff is like pretty fun, I would say. But in general, it's not a fun game to play. It's never been a fun game to play. It's always been kind of a series of like cool loading screens, and the gameplay loop is managing a menu. That's what it is. It's just menus. It's a bunch of menus. You're going to this place, here's some menus. You go to this place, here's some menus. You go fly to the space station, here's some menus. Here's a bunch of text that's largely gibberish. Or esoteric, you know, talks about this is what, you know, the universe means or whatever.
Lore. Yeah.
Right. And like the lore is boring. It's not interesting. And then, you know, you can learn new words so that the gobbledygook becomes words. But even when you learn the entire sentence that they're saying, it's still esoteric nonsense because this team is not big enough to deliver the game that we want from it. And I don't blame them for that. Honestly, I don't blame them for capitalizing on this. I'm happy for them that they got people interested in this game that otherwise wouldn't exist at the level it does without all the interest. I feel bad for them that people eviscerated them because they were disappointing. And I would say this is one of the most disappointing game experiences I've ever had. I really thought this was going to be awesome. I was all in on how awesome this is. And I think that the lessons I've learned from it are procedural generation is not the same thing as design. It is not a substitute for design. I would say a great counterpoint to this game in every way is Subnautica. Subnautica is pristine where this game fails in almost every way, with the exception of the fact that this game has some combat that I'm not super excited about. Some people are. That's fine. But I would say in general, every place you go in Subnautica has been crafted to discover stuff, to have a unique experience. Almost every time I land on a planet, it's hostile and it's barren, and you know, seven other species have been there, and there's the same airport and the same, like, you know, Gek mythological artifact and the same tower that I need to blast out to find all the bits. And it's the same.
Yeah, there's like nine things, and they're distributed uniformly
and they're the same.
Across the universe.
And it's like,
yeah, yeah. It's one experience kind of painted over a little bit.
And right, it feels like lipstick on a pig, honestly. And like, that's like a really old phrase, but like, it's perfectly applied to this game.
Is that from, like, the fucking Clinton era?
No, dude, it's from like the fucking Depression.
You can't put lipstick on a pig.
It's like from the Depression, which is how I felt when I played this game. Bear in mind, I don't think it's bad. I just think that people who really like it are sort of defending all the pieces they've added to it as being, but see, it's got all this now. And I think Cody nailed it when he's like, yeah, this is like 10 miles wide and an inch deep. Like, they never get to a loop that's actually satisfying. They just add new places to get more menus to toy with. You know, and like, ultimately, I don't want to play games in menus. I don't want to do that. That's my problem with Fallout, which is much, much better than this game for being an engaging loop. You know, like, Fallout has a lot more interactivity to it that I enjoy than this game does. This game, I'm literally just copying one thing to another place, and then I did it. I invented the thing that added mm-hmm. to my space backpack.
Now I can make this thing with the item that it could be a different icon, it could be a different word that it's called. It's the same sort of combining things. Yeah.
Like, who gives a shit? And so again, the joy of that experience was captured, I think, perfectly by Subnautica, where I have to find specific pieces and then I get a tangible like item from that I create, and just the creation experience being out in the world instead of in a menu is inherently more satisfying. I know that sounds like a really nitpicky thing, but like, it's emblematic of the problem with this game, which is it doesn't have the capacity to be a fun interactive 3D experience. It doesn't have the underlying engine for that, and it never did, and it never will. I wouldn't mind if they made a No Man's Sky 2, and I would buy it as long as I knew that a lot of things that they put into menus, they're going to gamify after that. And I've gave this game a very good long chance. I bear it no ill will. I just don't think that it delivers on the fun aspect of the premise that it's promising. And that's my rant.
I know this is not the format, but I got to ask Cody, as someone who I know does like survival games, is that different from any? Aren't all survival games combine the things to make the thing to combine the things to make the thing? Isn't that fine? Isn't that the loop that we enjoy?
They are like that, but the mechanics within the game are different, I would say. Hmm. And there's a more clear sequence of events to get you to that item. It does seem like you're sort of just mashing text together.
Yes.
Like for like Minecraft, for example, it's like, well, logically, this goes together with this, and if you have, and you make this shape, and there are these recipes that you have to sort of nail down, and there's simplicity to it, but there's also, it's like Minecraft, I think, is there's simplicity to it, but there's also depth to it that keeps it engaging. For me personally, I know
I think I can explain why, but I want to get us to the break so that we can really engage in this. So
yeah, it was same instinct. So let's hit the break. We'll be right back with Game On, where we just continue the conversation. Hope you'll join us.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bizzle Fuma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The rage has subsided. We're back now. Now we can talk about what's the difference between this menu-based game and the other ones. So I think, to me, Cody, the thing that's interesting about Minecraft or Subnautica or even Rust or whatever, like these other games, is that in general, when I create something, it becomes a usable tool or a usable item that then changes the interactivity. Like it adds to the loop of it. In general, that's not true of almost everything in No Man's Sky.
That's what just occurred to me. It's all set up, no payoff. Yes. That's the problem, is you invent magnetized plating. Whereas in Minecraft, when you finally build a boat, now you can go on the water. It does something.
Right. You
have these sort of built in, like you have your ship, you have your gun, and you have your suit, and then you upgrade those things, but you don't make anything new. You can't, like, craft new weapons. You can add, like,
components to them.
You can add components to them. Add, like, oh, now I can shoot like this, but you're not actually making anything. It is, it's that sort of text menu issue where, like, well, you're putting skin on this, but you're not making the bones, you know, and being able to manipulate said bones.
So they have manipulate the bones. They have added a few things that I haven't tinkered around with too much. Like, apparently, I think there is some form of land transportation now that didn't exist. Like
there's vehicles, exocrafts and stuff, and pets.
Yeah.
But even those are like not things you make. They're things you like, oh, I earned it via this mission. Now I have this.
And it is every single one of them can be characterized as really exciting. And you strive to create it, and you create the pad and the car or whatever. And then if you tinker with it for about 45 minutes, you're like, okay, I get it. It's a car. There's nothing to do with it beyond that. In every case, with all the systems.
That's all the things. Yeah. Even the, like the freighter stuff, or like I was saying, the settlement stuff. It's like, oh
you get
cool.
your own fleet of ships that works for you eventually, and it barely matters.
And now you have it. It's like, okay. And now, I found this town. Very cool. Oh, now I've saved it from the sentinels or whatever. Now I'm in charge. Now I do this. And now I'm just going to forget about this.
Chain.
You know,
okay,
the fleet stuff, even like, oh, you can build a fleet and you can have these frigates and then you send the frigates on missions. Okay, once you do that once, it's like, well, I just select the ship and I say go on a mission, and then 3 hours, 24 hours later, I come back and I get some rewards.
Right.
And they're like, we bought rewards back, here's the credits.
Yeah, and most of the time it's like, oh, this fucking rock that I can make into a different kind of rock, you know? It doesn't have a physical, like a tangible sort of,
It's a lot of loops. It's a lot of loops that exist as mini games in AAA games. Like the one you just described, for instance, has been in Assassin's Creed for a pretty long time. or various Assassin's Creeds, where, you know, I capture a ship, right, in Assassin's Creed 4. Mm. Now that ship works for me. And they go on these mm-hmm. missions, and basically they're there to just give you more resources, which you need for upgrades. Right.
There's background some dice rolls. Sort of stuff, yeah. Maybe some of them die on the way back, but you get a reward.
Yeah, and that's fine. And, like, it adds to the story of it in an ancillary way. But ultimately, it's just, like, a chore that you manage. And mm-hmm. I feel like...
And I love chore games. You gotta do your chores.
Yeah, right. I like them, too. Like, I enjoyed... the game that Mike and I just played,
Stardew Valley. I've been playing that for
right,
a while.
And
it's great.
I love the chores in that because they are mm-hmm. immediately rewarding. Yes. And I feel like in this game, like fundamentally, the planets aren't anything. If the planets were something in this game, the entire thing would be different.
Hey. Spoiler, planets have oceans. Like, imagine if you could fly down and then build a sub and do a Subnautica mm-hmm. on a planet. Like, yeah, it's interesting that the planet's Star Trek style. Every planet is just one biome, mm-hmm. and they all basically have a very similar topography and a similar population density. So,
and they
know.
Fixed it.
Yeah, once you go again, it's like once you do 50 planets, like, well, you've done. I've seen every type of planet. Even the ones that are like, oh, it's this type of planet, but the colors are a little different. It's like, okay, but the colors are different.
I mean, they also had to sort of dial that in a little bit because I remember very distinctly when the game first came out in 2016, they had these like Island of Dr. Moreau abominations that would be created by the procedure generation. To the point where...
Okay, procedurally generated animals are hilarious.
Well, they are hilarious.
Can we all agree about that?
But, like, I don't want to pay $60 to see the monster art. You know what I mean? Like, do you? Mm-hmm. Is it that mm-hmm. funny to you?
Well, that was what... So Spore was the same idea, but instead of focusing on Galaxy, it was focused on gene splicing and who was going to make any kind of animal. And the shit it pumped out was just like, this is only good for making ridiculous abominations that you laugh at.
Right.
It's just silly. It looks silly. Like, okay, that's fun. But it doesn't create like an immersive sort of experience.
No.
Like, look at these goofballs on this colorful planet.
They they got it so that it worked better. Like, now you don't get as many things that look like again, Island of Dr. Moreau or Turok Rejects or something. Like, so it's better, but also like, the game assumes that, hey, seeing the thing is pretty fun, isn't it? And my answer is no, it isn't. It's fine, but like being able to use it for some purpose or going down into exploring the planet in some depth is what I really want. Mm-hmm. And
seeing the Nexus is fun. It's
the
pretty.
Nexus is, but again, the Nexus is just another series of menus. It's a colorful place with bunch of menus.
Do you think part of our impression that it's shallow comes from the fact that, because if you haven't played it, I'd say it's pretty, especially for the budget and the size of the team involved. Very pretty.
100%.
It's intentionally designed to be sort of a friendly, bright colors, almost MGMT or Nerfy.
It's got a little cartoonish element to it.
Absolutely.
Would we be taking it more seriously if it was gritty and realistic? Is that part of it?
I like the color scheme and I like the space feeling of it, honestly.
I like it too. It's I know the creator describes it and I think he nailed this aspect of it, which I think is largely the problem with the game, which is that originally it was like, no, you can fly around. That experience that Michael, you described at the beginning of like, yeah, you lift off and you go and you're like, you're flying into space. There's no load menu. Like, the ship is the load menu. You're in there. You're going here. You're seeing all these landscapes. You're landing down. You're collecting resources, but mostly you're just sort of, it's almost this explorative, meditative game that I think he wanted it to be, where you can stumble upon and create your own images that look like 50s sci-fi covers,
mm-hmm.
Which he's talked about before, where it's like you have this sort of like 50s, 60s serialized sci-fi kind of vibe to just the aesthetic of it. Which I think is accomplished, but that was the goal with the game. And then when you're adding all these other things to it, which again, like, I enjoy certain aspects of it, and it does make me get bored with the game in the longer amount of time. It takes me longer to get bored with it because of all these things, but ultimately it is still this sort of, look at this. That's pretty.
And
it's like a great tragedy of my life as a gamer, because if people don't listen to our other pods, I'm like, Star Trek's a big part of my life. I love Star Trek, and it's all I want from a gaming experience is like the pinnacle version of this. And I'll tell you, when I play the other ones, where I'm sure someone listening to this is thinking, well, you guys play EVE Online or play Elite Dangerous, and it is almost, it overcorrects the other way, where it's so technical that I'm like, yeah, but I didn't want to play World of Warcraft either. I didn't want to manage a bunch of spreadsheets in space. Dang, I wish there was the pitch perfect thing in
it
the middle.
It feels like Starfield is supposed to be that game.
Maybe Starfield will be that game. But
so I think we're also forgetting that the they pivoted really hard away from what the game was supposed to be. What the game was supposed to be in 2016 is everyone is going to find their own planet. You will never meet another player. Like, it's just you out in the galaxy. That's it. And the problem,
it's meditative,
right?
Yeah, that's kind of the goal.
And they had to abandon it because, number one, if they put actually nothing on most planets, which is what would normally happen, you would quit the game immediately. So instead, you're always running into aliens who've already fucking been there. So it's like, I'm not discovering shit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that to belittle them. I'm saying, like,
it's a tricky problem.
They promised a thing that something in us wants, but it's a bad game idea, I think. And I think they realized that after their initial release. So instead they're like, now we're going to add a ton of social things, but they didn't build the infrastructure to make those social things rewarding because they don't have time to or the size to. So instead it's just like adding a bunch of traversal possibilities and menus to read through. Because at its core, like, I can't, for instance, go kill any Gek that I want to, a thing that I'm not saying you should be able to do, but in Fallout I could. Right. And that adds a lot to it. The fact that, like, you have a fundamental, like, that fundamental possibility of altering the game landscape in that way makes every one of these text interactions interesting, you know?
Right. Or if you strip, like, EVE Online has the tension of, there's been news articles written about it, right? Like, clans can build and build and then betray other clans, and huge amounts of credits are stolen, and there's, like, bitter rivalries and shit. This doesn't have that as much. I do want to say, I think the base building is pretty good.
I like
the flatten tool. Yeah. I like the variety of blah blah blah, and something about procedural generation that I kind of want us to talk about procedural generation as a tool as a whole, because I feel like something that we've danced around is it does beget a lack of dynamics and a lack of specificity, right? Because if you're building something out of a bunch of Legos that you have to shake the box first and build them in whatever order they fall, you can't have specific design things. And you get this weird paradox, right? So this is a sandbox designed to be infinitely replayable for a million hours, and yet I would sooner play Red Dead Redemption again, which is funny because Red Dead Redemption is an extremely limited, specific story that I should, in theory, only play once, and then that's in my brain. I can just remember it. Yet, it's more engaging because it has dynamics. My thing with procedural generation is everything becomes a homogenized, like they reach a medium. Where you're like, every experience is a medium experience. Unless you set these really weird parameters, which No Man's Sky failed to do. Like, you know, or unless you handcrafted some weird systems that you run into or whatever. Instead, they really trusted in procedural generation and they stuck to that everything is procedurally generated. And on the one hand, it's mind-blowing to me. For example, I kind of don't understand how... I could go to a specific place on a specific planet and then create a tiny divot in the ground with my mining tool. And then I could fly 25,000 systems away and then come back years later and find that spot on the planet and that divot would still be there. Not only would that divot be there, but I could use the restore tool, which means the computer remembers the history of every piece of dirt in every planet in the galaxy. Like, procedural generation in some regards blows my mind. Mm-hmm. But in another regard, it makes for boring games.
Well, the problem is, like, procedural generation doesn't actually solve the thing that we want out of video games or frankly that as a tool, which is we want the infinity of unimagined, unexplored, all possibilities out there in the world. That's what we want. That's what procedural generation promises. But the problem is procedural generation will generate absolute nonsense most of the time unless they put a series of very prohibitive parameters around it. And so because of that, it ends up sort of generating 10 million of the same. You know, like, and you can feel the four or five search things that it's allowed to choose between, but it's never going to come up with a planet that's inside out. A thing that's like, I'd love to see what that is.
Or a Coruscant where it's entirely popular.
It's never going to come up with that because we don't trust the computer to make those kind of decisions and for them to turn out entertaining and interesting. You know?
Oh, if we did let it build a Coruscant in the No Man's Sky engine, it would be gobbledygook.
Right.
So it
can't be what we want it to be, which is an infinite intelligence that designs interestingly.
We want the computer to be a fully sentient AI that is a game designer that's following us making a cool game as we go.
Right, we want it to make interesting, unique decisions, but by its nature, it's not supposed to. It's supposed to make these sort of blanket decisions that approximate this kind of thing. Oh, it's a blighted planet. Okay, it looks like all the blighted planets. Okay, it's a paradise. It looks like the paradise planets. It makes like 20 unique decisions. But if you do that over and over, they're no longer unique.
They feel like the same, right? It was the same problem as Returnal. Returnal is a game that has procedurally generated levels, but they wanted it to be a AAA game, like at the highest like level, right? So what do they do? Mm-hmm. They're like, okay, it can decide between 50 things. So then after you've played it...
Instead of 1,000.
Sure, but it wasn't really that many. Like the rooms sort of ended up being one of 50 in each area. You know,
right. That's what I mean. They kept it
and it's
small,
like, it's like, okay, so all you really did was create 50 levels for me to memorize. And because it's procedurally generated, it's therefore more challenging. So I end up seeing them all pretty quickly, actually. And then I'm disappointed because I have an idea in my brain about what procedural generation is going to do. And it can't do it. Like, it's not possible for it to do it. So I don't really think it's a great tool for level design so far. It might be a great tool for like populating a design world with stuff you don't have to look at. Like, for instance, imagine like
simple art.
Yeah.
Assets,
well, or like something like, okay, Madden football, you know, 3000, right? Where you're playing the football game. They've meticulously designed the football game and there's procedurally generated crowd members doing things that make sense. And it creates every infinity of that. And the crowd starts to feel really lively because of that. Cause we're not looking at them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's also kind of what Dreams is in some regard, the gamification game that tries to gamify game design, which I know is a mouthful, but yeah, look into it. I'm not going to explain it, but like there's a central database, right? All the assets, people upload their assets and you can search LAMP and just get and download. So that's an interesting thought. I wanted to say, I think procedural generation, I agree. I think it's interesting how they initially trying to tackle that tool through level design, and I think that's misguided, but where I do think it does work is story, which I didn't think would be where it worked, by which I mean not an AI writing the story, because I don't think we're there yet technologically, but case in point, Hades, meaning the story can be dispensed in a procedurally generated order or way. And then I just played this game that I don't think we'll ever cover, but I wanted to bring up at least once, and this episode feels like the right time, Road 96. Which is a game about politics and like Trumpism and fascism in America and trying to cross the border. But that's neither here nor there. The point is they take a bunch of Lego blocks, but the Lego blocks are basically resonant postcardy moments of story that speak to a theme, a central theme. And those can be dispensed in any order. And it's just like, it doesn't matter the order because it's like Pulp Fiction. You put it together in order in your head eventually. And it's really compelling to me to have procedural generation that dispenses pre-written units of stuff that is designed. You know what I mean? So it's like a rapper who's freestyling, but they have some lines pre-written so that the rap won't be shitty.
It's actually more like if the AI was a train station operator and it decides what line of the train, like which train gets through.
But it wasn't writing the shit. Yeah, exactly.
Which train gets through.
Yeah, and I think there's elements I think that help with No Man's Sky in that respect, that for like playing this story through, even though I do think there's something very lacking with the story. But in sort of what you're saying, where like there are these moments in the game that like, OK, you need to go to this kind of place. You go here, find this. And each of those locations is based off of where you are. So you can play through this game five times, and every step of the story will be in like a different location or have these certain different environmental elements that do change. So at least those like that 10 hours of the game it does still feel a little different.
Yeah.
But again, like once you do that many times, like, okay, it's an ice planet this time. Okay, it's a hot planet. Barren planet this time. It's a hot planet, whatever it is. And at that point, then it's like, okay, now I feel the sort of just like the lack of interest. Yeah.
Because it all amounts to feeding coal to your hazard protection, and then your hazard is protected. It doesn't matter if it's poison or fire.
That's right. You got to add the thing to the other thing in the menu. Cody, I have a theory on why the story is unsatisfying, which I played as much of it as I could this time. Mm-hmm. It's that infinite regression.
As I could stomach.
Mm-hmm. Infinite regression is actually not a satisfying answer because it reduces reality, not expands it. It reduces mm-hmm. reality, and it does it in a way that is that sort of actually kills curiosity instead of rewarding it. So it's like the opposite of the answer you want. Like infinite mm-hmm. regression is, and we talk about this sometimes on our multiverse.
It's anti-exploration. Yes. It's mm-hmm. like yes, don't it bother is. Going it's any direction. It's all roughly forever. The same.
That's exactly. Yeah. It tells me that it's a game.
Yes, that's right.
And it's all fake. So I don't want to play that game. I want to play a game that's real.
I find a lot of
that in the world. Right. It's a real thing.
Well, yeah. I find a lot of this is going to be maybe a little preachy, so forgive me. I find a lot of people who sort of lean into infinite regression as answers for things to often not be that curious about the thing that the answer like that they're trying to answer by it. Like I find infinite regression sort of ends up being the stand-in for not wanting to look into it further. You know, like not in every case, of course, but I find that a lot. And I think that's true here where like they're like, this is as much as we want to look into this. So the answer is we're doing this over and over. We're looping it over and over, mm-hmm. you know, and like even if that was the truth of the universe, which like I really hope it isn't. But let's suppose that it is. I still think that we wouldn't want it to be the truth. You know what I mean? Like we wouldn't accept it. And this game is actually promising the opposite.
That's like what my problem was originally when I did my first playthrough was like slowly realizing like, oh, I'm interacting with ghosts and I'm a ghost and we're all just sort of like ghosts in this fake layer under another fake layer under another fake layer. So I don't have any drive or interest in going out and exploring more. Because
I'm a fake guy. I'm Cody Johnston, a fake guy.
Right, right. And so if I'm a fake guy playing this fake game as a fake guy, then like, why
what
am
are we
I...
doing here?
And you know, one could argue that like there's an element of like, it's a waste of time to play video games in the same way it's a waste of time to like any media.
To be around.
And
do
like
anything
do any
than,
activity, yeah. absorb any art or whatever. But like, if you make the premise of the game that it's fake and we're all ghosts not really interacting with each other, then you're telling me that it extra doesn't matter.
Right.
Like I'm wasting my time kind of playing this game because it's not just about exploration and this endless like vast expanse of the universe. It's a vast nothingness is what you're saying.
That's the thing. It's vast nothing. And like I feel like that is a resonant theme for a space game. But what it really teaches me is that, like, I think we really want endings. Like, I really think that we want games to have endings. Even if we want to play the game forever, like, I think there's a reason why I can replay Red Dead 2, a game that is a very unique, specific experience. Because it's not that it was over. Like, it being over is not a problem. Like, it being over is what gives the journey some meaning of it. And I think...
Nah, I don't...
I like
Tetris,
it. I like that you're mad
or
about
like-
it.
There's many infinitely replayable toys that don't need to
not
end.
When they're narrative. Not when they're narrative.
No, yeah. No, I agree, but I'm saying that the thing still exists that is just a toy.
Right.
That you
well,
can
that's
do
the,
over
I think that's the what we've sort of been circling around for about this game is that it was never meant to be the game that I think we all
really
wanted
want,
out of
right.
it. Like that sort of open world narrative. Because it is like it's not like open world, but like a narrative was never really part of the game. It was added later.
You
want to
live in Star Wars, Star Trek? That's all. We want to be in Star Wars, Star Trek.
Exploring. I think
right. Like I would. I want to. I want to play GTA on Coruscant, and I want to have the ability to fly to Hoth and fly to other types of planets, and have it feel like this big expansive thing, but. When it matters more.
Well, I think it's really difficult to harness an exploration game, like not a survival game, because survival games have a built-in narrative, right? But an exploration game, which I think that was really the key ingredient here, and not have a strong narrative backbone. I think the act of exploration does require, like, it is a narrative act, you know, like, and I think there's some people who, like, there's some games that get around it. Elden Ring gets around it a little bit. But, like, in general, I think this game, whether it thought it was promising it or not, by promising you're going to be able to journey wherever you want, it's promising that you'll have a story, that you'll have a story experience, because like you'll have to make sense of your experience, which is what story is. And it didn't the world wasn't big enough for that. Its world was not big enough for that.
And then it said the world was fake anyway.
Right. So. Exactly. Right. So, and then, yeah, so I think we end up being unsatisfied. I still think it's an amazing achievement for the team, a team of the size that this team is.
100%. Like, and I mean, even the updates, like, I'm curious, because every update they do, I'm like, you're so close.
Yeah.
Like, it goes back to that, like, you're making the pool wider, but you need to dig deeper into the pool, please. And they haven't quite gotten there. But every update, I'm like, yeah, add that. That's exactly one of the many things that's missing from this game.
I don't know why they don't add simple Metroid gating. For example, it would be so easy and give you that at least one layer of depth if it's like, there's places on planets you can't get into because there's a crystal you can't destroy. And then when you smash all this shit together and you get a drill, now you can get in there. Mm-hmm. And there's something in there that you haven't seen before up to this point. You know, it's not that hard.
Right. These sort of markers of, like you're saying,
progress,
like, exploration.
That feels concrete.
Right. If you have, it's like, oh, it's exploration and it's endless. And like everything is kind of basic and medium, then the exploration and the journey isn't exciting, doesn't have that dynamic that you're talking about. But I am curious, Adam, as somebody who has played this game when it came out, I don't even know if that version is still available. I would be very interested to just like play, like, what is that even like? But like, you played 50 hours of that version, and then after many updates of things that that I think did enhance the game experience, did you find yourself like weirdly more bored or frustrated in the new version, or were there elements you're like, oh, that is better. I do recognize that this is like an improvement of a game.
It's 100% better. There's no question. I think it's unfortunate for me that I played the original game, because I think I just was like something in me switched off on it after that, where it's like, yeah, you can add stuff, but it's not like you haven't fixed the thing that I wanted. And I think I've articulated what I wanted now better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like, I can't say that, like, I can say every update made sense and was an improvement in that it added things I might be interested in doing. And it just made things smoother and, like, you know, run better. And like, so
yeah, it looks better.
So yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
So like, those are meaningful improvements. And I can see why they won a lot of their audience back. You know, and I don't think that audience was duped or anything. I think that they had a genuine connection to it, and they deserve that audience. It never satisfied what I wanted.
It's not. That's the thing. It's like there's it. It does feel like, Michael, you said this, I think, at the beginning, there's this sort of like, it feels a little empty and lonely, which again I think was the intention originally. Yep. Like, it's this empty universe. You're alone, and you just go. But with all the layers they've added to make it not feel that way, it still does feel that way. And actually, I think there's, I'm curious what you think of this. I was thinking about the mining you were saying was still fun and stuff. I find the mining element of it to be a little frustrating, because, and I don't even think the Starfield will fix this problem, but there's something very tactile and like gameplay like about, like, in a Minecraft game, or like Rust, or what, 7 Days to Die, games like that, where there is mining, because it is not the future. You're not using lasers, you're using tools, and so you hit the button every time. You hit the button, it hits, the axe hits the tree. You hit the button, the pickaxe hits the rock. So there's this constant, like, active action that you're doing to do the thing, whereas with No Man's Sky, and I assume like games like Starfield, like, we'll hold the trigger down and the laser does the work.
That's interesting.
It feels like it separates you from the world even more.
It also,
in my, like, yeah,
it also doesn't have the possibility of being a different item than you expected. So, like, in Minecraft, you hit with the pickaxe, it might be a it might be like a lump of coal, or it might be a gold nugget or whatever, you know what I mean? Whereas it's always the thing you're mining, like with the laser, like, it, so there's no surprise. It's just a tedious chore, and I think that makes it pretty different. I think it,
yeah, although, well, my, so in Minecraft it does, like, the blocks look like the thing they're going to be.
Okay.
I think it's just like more variety. Whereas, like, so, like, with No Man's Sky, it's like, oh, that's a rock. I'm gonna get ferrite dust out of that
because it's that's what it's gonna be, right?
Whereas with Minecraft, it's like, oh, that's like that's cobblestone, or that's stone with gold in it. I know I'm gonna get this out of this.
Okay. Interesting.
And I don't know. I think just like the block element of it makes it more
tactile,
more engaging, and more, yeah, more tactile, more just the option. It seems like there are more options. In terms of the building of it, weirdly.
Interesting.
Even though the graphics are much simpler, and it is basically pixel art. You're making pixel art the entire game. It's just 3D pixel art. But there's something about, speaking of 7 Days to Die, the building mechanic in 7 Days to Die is block-based, not like like No Man's Sky or Rust, where it's like, you got a wall. This is what the walls look like.
That's interesting. Well, yeah. We're going to take another short break. Where we launch off to yet another planet, the planet called Keeper Delete, and see what we discover on the other side of these ads.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And we're back. Hey, it's the same planet. It's exactly the same planet. Only this one's green. Only this one's green.
Ooh. Oh, the Dr. Seuss trees are taller here.
Sometimes, like, one out of 50 planets has an incredible mix of foliage that's like, wow, this is really cool looking. And I want to give him some credit for that, too. Like, once in a while, it's
totally. Even after hours of playing, sometimes I'll land at a place and be like, yeah, this is really cool looking.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So they do nail it. Like, the elements do come together in surprising ways once in a while. And that's pretty rad. So, hey, Swaymo, I think we're ready to pass our final checkpoint into keep or delete. You agree? Okay. Who wants to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first. I feel like we got wrapped up in kind of dunking on it in different ways, and now we're out of time. And I'm like, oh no, but I want to say as quickly as I can that I strongly disagree with all the big points that Cody just brought up on the other side of the break. And I wish we'd gotten there sooner so we could have discussed it in more detail. But I'm not a big Minecraft guy. I like the mining in this way better. Oh. I think it's incredibly satisfying because the ore deposits are so shiny and they float up and they go into your backpack. Like, I love it. I thought scanning stuff in exchange for units was incredibly compulsively addictive. And I thought, as far as menus go and it being all menu driven, hell yeah, but like, I like games like Alchemy and Doodle God that are literally only menus. These icons, I cannot stress how clean and nice the design is, how good the icons look. These are some of the best menus around.
That's true.
And there used to be games that were just text that were super involving and engaging. So I just wanted to give a last burst of like,
but
good vibes around the stuff I liked about No Man's Sky.
Well, you're clearly not alone.
I'm listening to us and I'm worried that I feel like we're being sourpusses.
I don't think so. I think we're being fair to the game. I mean, but also you're clearly not alone because it has a huge audience that was willing to endure all these updates. So like, I'm not here to say that taste is wrong or bad. I'm just saying, I don't like that. That's not fun for me, which I've been consistent about. I've been consistent about that for 5 years now. I feel the same way about Fallout, which has more interactivity. But I think if you're not bothered by that, and there's a huge swath of gamers out there who won't be, this is your jam, man. If you haven't tried
it,
give it a shot.
I didn't want to downplay that those detailed elements of the loops can be satisfying and fun. I was very excited when I got my new ship and moments like that. There are good moments throughout. Anyway, I'll delete it.
You're gonna delete it? I'm surprised by that.
I think ultimately it's a misguided early attempt experiment in procedural generation, but I don't think it's the perfect use of procedural generation, and I think the industry will evolve and find better uses of procedural generation, and I'm sort of waiting for that.
That makes sense. Cody?
So I would push back on early Cody as well in regards to what you were talking about. Like, I do think that, like, I'm saying I prefer the Minecraft of it all because I love that game until the end of time. Like you're saying, like, yeah, sometimes I find like an incredible ship. I'm like, I thank God I got enough credits to buy that ship. Now it's mine. Now I'm going to fly it around. And it does create this.
It's Minecraft.
Extra couple of hours, right? Like every once in a while, there's this thing that happens like, oh, now I can play this for a couple more hours.
Yeah.
And because to be clear, and I think that I have been too down on the game because I think that the potential is there, and I want, like, I love the idea of this wide pool being deeper. I would love to dive in to a version of this game that just isn't there yet, and I don't know if this particular game can ever get there because of what it was originally intending to be versus what it's trying to bring its audience up to now. But I also put, like, I don't know, 100 hours into the game, so obviously I enjoy playing it.
Right. That's right.
Because it is, and one reason I play Minecraft is because it is meditative. So I can still hop into this game and get some relaxing flying around space out of it. So in regards to that, I would keep it. I would maybe reserve a final opinion until Starfield comes out, because maybe that's like just a much better version.
Yeah.
But I do admire the game quite a bit, especially its comeback, and I will still probably pop into it every once in a while.
Yeah, A for effort. Great model of supporting a game afterwards and bouncing back from people not liking your game, but going like, no, we're going to win you back.
Yeah. And they did. Admirable. And like, man, that rules. Like, again, for an indie studio, these guys deserve a lot of applause for, number one, trying something like this. Like, this is a game. They were right. We want the game they wanted to make, I think. Or we want the game that they promised. Maybe not the one they're trying to make, but the one they promised. We want it. They're right. And the fact that they stuck around and gave so many free updates and made it right so that the game is actually satisfying to the audience that stuck around. It's like, that's a lot of goodwill, man. And I, you guys deserve to make another shot at it. I hope you do. I wouldn't mind a No Man's Sky 2. I would play it. You know, like, so that tells you, I don't hate this. I just don't, it's just not for me. But, it's disappointing because I do think they promised things they didn't deliver. But I still think good for them, like fully endorse this project. I am so hopeful that Starfield is finally the game we're looking for. I'm so hopeful that finally the version of exploration I want, which I got to be honest with you, is personal. And by personal, I mean I want to encounter people and stories and have emotional experiences out there. And I have a little bit of that with No Man's Sky because there's something emotional about taking off and like seeing the space and like seeing the galaxy and encountering strange creatures and stuff. There is something emotional about that. And they got that right. But without people in it, without characters that are interesting to interact with, without story and the ability to change the universe, like fundamentally change it with my behavior, I'm not satisfied. So I hope we get that game. I'm going to delete this, but with respect and with love for the guys who made it, and I hope Starfield is finally that game.
That's right. Let's all get our hopes way up, just like we did for No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And we'll see how that goes.
I do think it speaks to, I mean, the Starfield of it all kind of speaks to what a lot of stuff we've been talking about, where it's like, no, it's real. It's a real thing. You're not, it's not this just expansive thing where, like, it's populated by ghosts. They wrote characters that you can return to and go back to and then open up the world. That's what I want to see. A very, like, here's the story. Here are the places you go to. Here's the world that we made for you. And then you beat the game. And now you can stay.
Right.
And do your little, you can play poker with whoever.
Right.
Or like go on shootout, whatever it is, you know, that's what I need.
I think I'm okay with my infinite space game having an end. I actually am okay with that. And this game showed me that. Like, I'm okay with, no, it can be 50 planets or whatever it is. And like, I can live with it as long as I had a good time. You know?
Right.
That's really it. Mike, anything else you want to add?
Nah, just so you can find all the other podcasts Adam and I are involved in. And Cody is there sometimes as well.
Once in a while.
Sometimes not even as himself. Over at a place called Small Beans, which you can find by pointing your podcasting device at the words Small Beans, or heading to patreon.com/smallbeans, where you can find the exclusive paywalled content like Star Trek The Next Futurama, Spiel Boys, and select episodes of I'll Show You Mine If You Show Me Yours. Don't know what those things are? Investigate. Explore the world around you, dummy. Find things out. And then pay us for them. That's all I got. Thanks for listening. If you just care about video games, stay tuned to One Upsmanship. Oh, wait, Cody, where can people find you online?
On the internet.com. My name is Cody Johnston. I've got social media usually under Dr. Mr. Cody, and a show called Some More News on YouTube, also as a podcast, and then another podcast called Even More News. We have a patreon.com/somemorenews, and those are, I'm pretty sure, the things. Also my band The Hot Shapes. I don't know when this episode's coming out, but we might have an EP available.
Oh shit.
For
nice
listening.
That rules. That's fun.
It will.
The hot.
That's fun.
The shapes. Hot shapes.
I like that. That's fun.
Work complete.
Live Nation presents Concert Week.
Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/concertweek to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids. You know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.